This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 189. Decapitations, eviscerations.
It's all good.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Pro gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Hi, people!
Yo.
Did you have a good week?
Yeah.
Are your thumbs okay?
Yeah, they're fine.
Hey, your car didn't explode. It could be worse.
I know, but it's just falling apart.
But it's old. That happens.
I know.
Be thankful for the ride you got. You know what else you should be thankful for?
Our website.
Exactly. Make sure that you're visiting it, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use a short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, subscribe.
Get the feed.
It's free.
That way you can make sure that you hear all of our episodes in their entirety at all times, each week.
You can also plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we also have some great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. We've got a couple of shows hosted by our very own ESH crew members that you definitely want to make sure that you check out. So our new episodes go out every Monday. Getting you through Tuesday is our own King Baby Duck with the Boston Bass Brigade, which you can find in iTunes underneath Boston Bass Brigade or on their website, bostonbassbrigade.com. They've got new content that they put up on a daily basis. They're a funny bunch of bastards and wenches. Make sure that you check them out. And then right there on Hump Day is our very own Deuce as well with a brand new fresh episode that he co-hosts of Geek Aggro. Collective Geek ain't nothing to shake a stick at. Unless it's a lightsaber, at which point you totally should be listening to the show by now. So right there, we've got all kinds of entertainment getting you through the hump week. And then to get you through the rest of the week, well, there's the stuff that we do on the YouTube account, the Facebook account, the Flickr account, and the Twitter accounts. So if you want to be able to bookmark and follow all of that stuff, make sure that you hit up electricsisterhood.com/socialize. You can also just follow ESH News, that's at ESH News, because that's where we're going to be putting all of our new stuff and giveaways, because we are going to do some of those things. So,
yeah,
free stuff, awesome. But we have some other awesome things to talk about this week. So before we get into the main entree
of the episode, awesomeness,
we're going to give you a little bit of the appetizer, a little bit of DLC stuff, kind of. Interesting. Yeah. Last week, Activision made a new track pack of DLC content available for DJ Hero. So for all those people that thought that DJ Hero was dead and nobody was paying any attention to it and Activision really wasn't going to do anything with it, even though they said they were, but they really didn't do anything after they said they were, they did! And it's another Jay-Z Eminem mashup track pack.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Well, here's the thing. I love the game. As you all know, when I got my copy, I got the Renegade copy, not necessarily because I wanted the music, because I already had the majority of the catalog that they put on the special edition discs that were in the Renegade edition, both the Jay-Z collection and the Eminem collection. But I did think the packaging was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing that I like is to see that no one is letting this really unique kind of game die. Okay. Because it would be very easy to just be like, well, it didn't sell ass loads of stuff, so I guess it's a failure. It seems like there's a lot of leaning that direction in the industry right now. Well, if it doesn't sell ass loads, it must be crap.
That's not true.
Well, I mean, look at all the stuff that Activision is now shelving in favor, especially on the music side, of just dealing with Guitar Hero. Not Band Hero, not Guitar World Tour. We got a Guitar Hero and DJ Hero, as far as music games go. And letting everything else kind of fall by the wayside. And then going back to what they think they're known for and can be good at. You know, the stuff with Infinity Ward, it just seems like there are a lot of big developers and big publishers that are really trying to refine down to just the franchises that will be the sure thing,
mm-hmm.
and not taking a lot of risk on the other stuff. And I really thought that it was going to work out that DJ Hero would be one of those things that they decided to let drown because it didn't do gangbusters in sales. It did well, but it didn't
do astronomically well.
There's not one in every home. Okay, let's put it that way.
Well, that would make sense. There are blind people and people who can't hear and people who don't have hands.
Dude, you can't go on about the blind people. That's not cool.
Well, they wouldn't be able to see.
Yeah, but...
And what if they're all three? What if they are blind, they can't hear, and they have no hands?
Helen Keller wouldn't be interested in DJ Hero to start with. So no one would buy that for her. Let's just stop there before...
Well, what if someone just really isn't that sensitive?
I can't really speak for you, but I would say that we should probably get off this piece of the topic.
Okay.
But the track pack mixes Shake That by Eminem with Show Me What You Got by Jay-Z, Without Me by Eminem with Encore by Jay-Z, and Can I Get A by Jay-Z with Lose Yourself mixed in by Eminem.
Okay.
So a lot of the tracks that I would have thought initially would have been part of at least the Renegade edition of the Jay-Z Eminem mix-up mashup deal finally seem to be made available now for the game,
okay.
Which is interesting. I hope they continue with track packs because right now the only ones that have existed were the David Guetta track pack that came out, I want to say a couple of weeks after, if not 3 weeks after the release of the game, and now this one. And so that's a long time between DLCs for something that you're really wanting to label a franchise in my mind. So I hope they continue to release more things, that more mashups come up. Because I'll be honest with you, I think that the DJ Hero soundtrack is probably one of the better, if not the best, video game music soundtracks. I mean, from beginning to end, there's maybe 8 tracks total that I don't really like. But I think that's out of like a total of 135 or something like that to start.
And I don't think that's too bad.
It's not batting a bad average there.
No.
So I'm really hopeful that it continues on, that there is in fact a DJ Hero 2 and that it does add some more things to the ballpark. Because we can see that DLC can definitely sustain a title. I mean, think about Rock Band. How many people you still see on the weekends? I know when I'm playing Xbox Live, how many I see on the weekends popping in to Rock Band 2. And I know it's because a track pack just came out that they were actually interested in. And so they grabbed it and now they're playing it.
See, I see a lot of people on Beatles Rock Band on my side.
I do see a bunch of people on Beatles Rock Band, too. And I think that that has a lot to say about its staying power. Because there hasn't been a new album pack for Beatles Rock Band for nearly 2 months, if not 3. I think the last one was released in January, right around holiday. So I think that says a lot about its staying power, the power of the Beatles music itself. It's interesting enough. It's different enough of a play through experience that people keep going back to it. I mean, right now, I'm in the middle of God of War 3. But when I finish it, I'm probably going to go back and play some Beatles Rock Band just because it's fun. It's enjoyable for a group of people or by yourself, you know, and it's really good music that I enjoy.
Right.
I think it comes back to the experience you enjoy. Like, Heavy Rain was a hell of an experience for me. And I would say that I don't know that I could say that I enjoyed it because I didn't.
Oh my god, I fucking loved it.
But see, that's the difference. I love the gameplay, and I think the game is amazing, and it brings so many different things to the table. But I wouldn't necessarily say that playing it filled me with joy.
Well, I don't think the game was meant to fill you with joy,
right? So I can't really say that I enjoyed the game. I loved playing it. The experience was like nothing I've had before, but I wouldn't necessarily say that it fills me with joy to play it. I do get a euphoric sense when I play Beatles Rock Band, especially if I beat my own previous score or top one of my friends, and it lets me know on the leaderboard that I'm, you know, ranked first among my friends or second among my friends for this particular playthrough of the song. You know, that does fill me with a sense of joy. So I enjoy that game.
Well, since you brought up Heavy Rain, I'm really glad that you did that, because I know on the PSN earlier today when I was looking at it, they released the soundtrack for download.
Yes.
Up on the PSN, which I think is great because, you know, they did this whole big orchestral, you know, track for it. And even some, you know, clubbing music, which I thought were really good, and I've been looking to find those songs. So, there they are for you guys who were trying to figure it out. Check out the PSN. Download it. Enjoy it.
So since we're on the Sony side of the planet, like I said, I'm in the middle of God of War 3. Or at least I think I'm about to be in the middle.
You're that far?
I think I am. Now, here's the deal. I got the one of the special editions, I can't remember which one, of God of War 3. It was one that didn't have 1 and 2 on Blu-ray to play through again. Because I've already played through both of those about 6 times each. So I'm good on the playthrough of those guys. But I did want Pandora's Box just because I think it'll be a great thing to have on my desk at work. I think it will say a lot. It will keep many people away from me during the day, which makes me happy. But
I'm glad that things make you happy.
Things do make me happy. I'm honest about that, though, and I own that about myself. But I love the little art book that comes with it. As you all know, I love creative things, so being able to walk through the various art level artists and character design artists process and see how characters came to be and what initial thoughts and really how much more dark, if you could imagine that, God of War 3 was meant to be than what it is right now. It's a really interesting little thing. So if you have the opportunity to pick up any of the versions that come with an art book, I definitely, definitely recommend them. But I am a huge and have been fan of the God of War 3 and God of War franchise, really, to be honest. And I've been looking forward to 3 forever. However, it made a slight boo-boo when I ordered my version and didn't get the expedited shipping.
You didn't get the expediting
shipping?
No,
so I got my copy on Friday of last week.
Oh, see, I've had mine since yesterday, but I didn't want to open it because I wanted to finish playing Final Fantasy 13. But circumstances have
arisen
made it so that I cannot finish playing it.
Do I even want to know?
No, it's just some people don't want things to be ruined, so I'm trying to be nice.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So that's it. I'm being nice. And not to mention, it kind of gave me an excuse to open it.
So
I guess I was more or less worried that if I started playing it, I wouldn't finish Final Fantasy 13 because I would get sucked in. And I think I'm correct in that assumption.
You're going to get sucked in. I'll say it right now.
I'm probably going to, and that's fine.
If you've played a God of War game before and you enjoyed it, if you turn on God of War 3, you're going to get sucked in. Just accept it.
Bring the suck on!
But in the good way, not in the bad way.
I saw that in a positive way. I don't know what negative way you were. Oh, wait. Yeah.
So let's talk about God of War 3. It picks up literally right where 2 left off. I'm going to go ahead and bring it up because if you haven't finished God of War 2 by now, you're not going to do it. So I'm not spoiling anything for you. But if you are playing it because you just got your very first PS2, turn the episode off because I'm going to spoil the hell out of 2. At the end of 2, see, I gave you time. At the end of 2, Kratos is on the back of Gaia, who we now know is the narrator of the stories and has been telling the stories forever, and is climbing up Mount Olympus, making a beeline for Zeus and the few gods that are left on Olympus to pretty much kick some ass and take some names. Now, when you're in 2, and my memory could be wrong, but I don't think it is. In 2, at the end, Zeus is flanked by 4 other gods.
That's right. I remember this.
In 3, he's flanked by more than 4.
So, okay. Well, we've had a long break between 2 and 3, so he probably called somebody and said, look.
Yeah, he probably got a phone call Tyrone.
I'm going to need some backup. We need some backup.
Called up Tyrone's like, hey, dude.
Richard! Where's Richard? He went home? Okay, tomorrow. That's exactly what happened. No lie, I was there. I saw it.
You saw the whole thing?
Yep.
Can you testify to that in court?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. So, anyway, there are more gods. So, obviously, some other ideas came about on how to take this story between the team that ended 2 and this team that put together 3. And at first, I really wasn't sure if I was going to enjoy that. Because I kind of already had in my mind, even though I know it's not fair, an idea of where the story was going to go, or where it really needed to go to be a satisfying and fulfilling end.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see Poseidon, you see Hades, you see Helios, and at the end of 2, Zeus. Well, there are more. Which works out okay. It's fine by me. Because you actually get to fight these gods and gain their particular powers. God of War 3 feels to me right now, and I haven't finished it yet, so I'm not going to be able to spoil a whole lot of things for you.
But for what you can, she will.
But it definitely feels, at least in the beginning, very heavy on the puzzle solving. And so I had to kind of remember that, you know, God of War has always been heavy on puzzle solving. It's always been figuring out how to get through the level. Some zombie guys, basically, you know, of no real power. And then
another puzzle
to the boss.
More or less. That sounds about right.
That's what the play has been. And weaved in between that are the feather search or the Gorgon Eye search to extend your magic or life bars. Well, in God of War 3, the mechanic has changed a little bit. The first thing that you'll notice is in the quick time events. It takes a little getting used to if you're used to the previous quick time events. But now whenever you pop into one, not only do you see the buttons more in the theme of the design, but they also show up relative to where they are
on the controller.
On the controller. So you won't see them in the middle of the screen. So you don't focus so hard on the middle of the screen that you miss the action. I really feel like it's more part of the action because now I'm looking, you know, when I see the slowdown, I'm now looking at all corners of my screen. So I'm actually taking in more of the visual of what's going on in the slow-mo when I identify the QuickTime button I'm supposed to hit. So I really think that it's a very good implementation of the QuickTime event. There's still a lot of them, but you do get rewarded really heavily, especially if you like the gory kills.
And the eviscerations.
Eviscerations are good. Decapitations are good. I'm going to spoil a couple of things right now, but it's early in the gameplay, so I don't really feel bad. Okay. One of the early gods that you fight is Helios, and he's kind of on his little chariot, and he's throwing little fireballs at you while Flame Titan is climbing up Mount Olympus and trying to bat him down, very King Kong-y. And so you get a harpoon, and you basically, if you time it right, harpoon the hell out of Helios to knock him out of the sky so that you can actually fight him.
Right. I was wondering how eventually you were going to get there because, you know, he's kind of flying around.
Yeah. So you knock him down, but when you do, and you start making way towards him to kill him, a phalanx of the undead surround him, and they have these shields that you cannot penetrate with your blades. So you're like, how the fuck am I supposed to get this dude? Because there are dudes guarding him from the top and from the bottom, and every time I swing at him, they poke me. I don't like being poked! Well, enter the Cyclopses.
Oh, God, really?
Yes, and kind of like riding the Beast of Burden in Dante's Inferno, you eventually can beat the Cyclops to the point where you can ride him and use him to thrash things until he dies. Ooh. Or you rip out his eyeball and he dies.
Wow. So you can ride them.
Yes, for a little while, and use their brute strength against your enemies again until they die and you rip out their eyeball. And it's slow-mo, too, so you get to really see that eyeball, and it kind of looks around a little bit as you're like pulling it out, so it's not just stationary there. You just see it kind of look up and down, and you feel almost bad for the Cyclops, but then you're like, you tried to hit me with a tree. Screw you.
Right?
The gore is it's very graphic, I guess is the way to say it. And
no shit.
But more so than previous God of Wars, if you can even imagine that.
The intestines.
Well, the intestines actually aren't as bad. I mean, it's just kind of like, I've ripped open your stomach, and I see your stomach, and I see your intestine, and then it disappears. So maybe the intestines are on screen at most for 2 seconds before that particular enemy, now down, disappears. What's more graphic are some of these fights. So once you get through the phalanx that's protecting Helios, you basically beat his head in, then lift him up and rip his head off.
Oh, wow.
In slow motion. And so you watch the flesh tear as you rip his head off. And then his eyes just kind of slowly open and his mouth opens. So you can basically use his head like a Medusa head to reveal godly truths.
Ooh.
Okay, but this is the first frustrating mission that I had in the game, because he's like, well, then defend yourself against the power of the sun after you've like stomped his face in, and you have to use the right thumbstick to basically block the light. But it took me a while to actually get my controller to move the hand. So he like evaporated me 3 times before I finally was able to move my hand and walk so that I didn't get, you know, blown up by the power of the sun.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you right now that the first battle that you have, boss battle that you have, is freaking amazing.
Oh, are you talking about Poseidon?
Yes.
With the freaking water horse crab thing?
Yes. So did you finish the Poseidon?
Yes, the water horse crab snake thing.
Why don't you talk about the water horse crab snake thing?
Well, if you haven't figured it out.
Because that Poseidon battle at the end... I was like, dude, all right, you have set
the ball. Yeah, so, yeah, if you haven't figured out, there's a water horse crab snake thing, and you are riding on Gaia. So this water horse snake thing is, like power thrusting through her. So, of course, she's screaming.
I feel bad for Gaia.
I do.
She is screaming so bad.
She's getting raped
while
she's climbing upward.
Poor thing.
So you're fighting on her. Things are fighting through her. You're fighting those, and you find out that there's several spider horse, crab, snake
water things
that are all at the base of Poseidon. So you're fighting on Gaia, trying to get, you know, closer to his body form of water, because he jumps into the water after he knocks down the I want to say another like rock type Titan.
Yes,
they don't really specify which one it is, so I always called it the red shirt Titan because.
He died.
And when he emerges, you know, Kratos is all like, come out of your water. You know, like, come and fight me. You know, don't hide. And he's all like, fuck that. I'm a god of water. Fuck that. So you're fighting, you know, and like the fight has like 3 different stages, essentially. So at one point, Gaia, you know, has her hand around him. Against a wall, so it gives you enough chance to get up close so you can do a quick time event on him. And when you finally manage to do that, you kind of bash his head up against a rock, And he's still in, like, his giant water self. So you go back to your first stage when you're, like, on her. And eventually the horse crab things allow you to, like, shoot yourself, like, around them.
Yes, you kind of Indiana Jones whip catapult yourself.
Which is that? It's visually stunning. Visually yes. stunning. And you go through another kind of quick time event. And then you see yourself kind of go through Poseidon's water form. And he literally takes out the god form from the water. So the whole thing begins to, like, disintegrate.
You
back
basically knock the bitch out of his water body in midair.
So he ends up hitting, like, a wall. And you pretty much, it goes first person, so you're kind of like, what the hell is going on? And, you know, he's like, there will be other gods to stop you. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, that doesn't matter. I'm going to kick your ass. And it first person, you are actually in Poseidon's first person. So you're watching Kratos pummel the crap out of you.
Let's be honest. Kratos beats the shit out of you. And you just have to take it. But at the same time, you're also dishing it. So it's like you're dishing it to yourself because you're hitting the quick time events that are hitting Poseidon, but you're watching the fight through Poseidon's eyeballs.
Well,
I take my hat off to you guys at Santa Monica Studios because that was pretty fucked up.
That's not even the fucked up part. So, I mean, yeah, you're getting punched and pummeled and kicked, and all of a sudden you get this quick time event to press your L3 and your R3. And you take your thumbs, or rather Kratos takes his thumbs, he plunges them into Poseidon's eyes, and snaps his neck. So the last thing he sees is Kratos.
Kratos's thumb.
And then he flings them over the side of this cliff area, and all of the sea rises up and kind of takes out a city in the process.
Yeah, pretty much floods the city of, wasn't that Athena's city?
I want to assume so.
Yeah.
And it just rises and people just dying.
Yeah, you just kind of watch all the lights go out. So I'm actually going to venture a guess and say that that's going to now be Atlantis.
Probably.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised.
That's so, how the game starts.
Yep. It does.
And then Gaia keeps pursuing Zeus and you think, oh my God, this is going to be so awesome because I'm going to get to the mountain pretty quickly. Because your brain doesn't tell you, duh, you're just starting out the game. It was exciting.
It was hilarious because Eshmum was watching and she's just like, "So, well, you're already up there." And I'm like, no, Mom, if you remember anything about these games, you usually start out with a whole lot of power and they kind of take it from you. And then you got to go get it back.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I am feeling this is short-lived. And then that whole dialogue happened. And I said, yep. I fell into the river Styx. Oh, there goes my mana.
Yep.
There goes my health bar.
Yep.
There goes some fucking, oh, God. And I'm like, oh, and my blades, they're all like stone now.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy.
So I'm like, oh, that's just great. So, yep, once again, you get thrown off the giant mountain of Olympus into Hades.
Again. Because, you know, one trip to Hades isn't enough.
Oh, no, you got to go back several times. Leave an impression in your brain.
South Beach. You can't just go once.
Exactly.
I got to say, looking at the visuals, I'm really surprised at just how great the dialogue matches up with the motion that's going on with the characters.
It's very fluid.
I haven't noticed any slowdown yet in my gameplay. I have noticed that my controller's flaking out a little bit, so I don't know that my particular six-axis controllers, because remember, I have an older PS3, so it doesn't have the rumble six-axis controllers. I don't know that my battery in those guys can actually keep up with how much I've been playing the game, because I have noticed that it's turned itself off a few times in the middle of a QuickTime event. That's kind of pissed me off. Skosh. But the gameplay itself, it's definitely, I gotta say, it's more than violent. At times, it's just brutal.
I love brutal. What are you talking
about?
I love it,
but I'm letting people know, if that's not your thing, don't think of this as, okay, let me put it this way. The violence that's in God of War 3, and just the sheer brutality of some of the kills against different types of monsters that you fight, put some of the things that you do in Dante's Inferno to shame. Okay, like in Dante's Inferno, when you have the gluttons that, you know, throw vomit at you or shit on you, too, you know, that's funny, okay? I mean, it's just funny. When you watch Kratos rip one of the dog beast's jaws apart and then it just kind of falls lifeless for a second, you kind of feel bad, even though you know it's a demon hound. You're like, oh, poor doggy. He died.
And I killed it.
No, and Kratos is still as badass as ever. Poor human beings who are just kind of stuck in the chaos. You still can kill them to get some health back, and you do kind of throw some people under the bus. Is the best way to put it in the game. So those things that make Kratos so enjoyable as a badass are still present in the game. I'm going to move forward a little bit in the game because I know I'm a little bit farther than you are, Pam.
Oh, by probably a great chunk, actually.
But I've got some other things I want to talk about, so I'm going to spoil some other things for you. If you really don't want to hear them, just turn it off because I'm going to say it. So one of the things that you don't do loving you because that donkey might explode, so stop it.
Sorry.
So you are still trying to kill Zeus. You wind up in Hades and you start talking to Hephaestus.
Yep.
I love the weaving of stories and gods that go on in this because you basically have to find Pandora.
Again?
Because remember, we didn't find Pandora before we found her box.
Right. We just found, yeah.
Get you. This time, we actually have to find Pandora.
Okay.
Because we got to go back to the box. Because we need the box. As you know, it has the power to kill a god in order to kill Zeus.
But I thought we have to have the flame.
The box is in the flame. And that's why you need the flame.
The
box is protected by the flame. And if you touch the flame, you're going to die.
But I thought you
need Pandora.
Kronos. On his back.
Remember, we got to the box.
Yes.
And then we got hit by that sword that bitch Ares threw at us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he took the box.
Fucker.
I remember. And then we fought that bitch.
Killed his ass.
No box. And it's because Zeus took the box
and put it back in
the flame. Because as you get a little bit down further on, you find out that Hephaestus is the one who originally made the box. And the reason why it's called Pandora's box, ready, spoiler, is because Pandora is actually the key that can safely
open
the box. Or lock the box. But Hephaestus, when he made Pandora, fell so much in love with her as his daughter and she as a father figure that when Zeus came for the box that was going to hold all these evil things that allowed Zeus to originally kill the Titans, Hephaestus kind of neglected to mention Pandora and hit her. So Zeus was kind of pissed when we got the box.
Thinking that we could open it, not knowing that we wouldn't be able to.
Right, because he thought, well, can't open it because I hit it on Kronos. Nobody can find it. Well, we found it.
Yeah.
And we opened it.
Yeah, but it would have been like the ending of Men in Tights. Oh, he thought he had the key to the greatest treasure in the world, and it was too small. So he had to call a locksmith. I'm just saying. The locksmith.
Okay.
Sorry.
But just kind of pissed that the box could be used by a human, could be opened by a human, and then it would allow that human to kill a god. So then he got all kind of weirded out by that.
Right.
Beat the shit out of Hephaestus, banished him to Hades, and kind of threw Pandora in the middle of a labyrinth. That he asked Daedalus to build.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. So, right now, I'm at the point where I've already seen Aphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it.
Okay.
I will say that much, and there are a couple of funny moments in that, so I'll leave that be. But I am now trying to get to the labyrinth to get Pandora.
Uh-huh.
So I
can open the box and you can kill Zeus.
And put the smack down. But I gotta say, the puzzles at times are more frustrating than difficult. And the most disturbing thing for me is the triple jumping.
Triple jumping? I know double jumping and I know wings.
Well, you basically can triple jump in the game. Because remember, you still have the Icarus wings.
Yes, that's why I said the wings. You have the jump, you have double jump, and then you have double jump wings.
Okay. Well, that's typically, you can actually supposedly bring that about by the third button. Push. So it should be push, push, push.
Right, okay.
Which is your triple jump. Sometimes, however, the wings will come out on the second push. And so, depending upon your timing, you can actually screw yourself over.
And fall and die?
You got it.
Yep, I've had that issue.
I am so tired of seeing you are dead.
How many times have you seen it thus far?
I've seen it at least 10 times this far.
Oh.
Because I'm so used to a triple jump being a true triple jump that at times my wings will kind of prematurely open.
But I thought it was. I know you're saying it's push, 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 but I thought it was push, push.
There's a push, push, push.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Push, push, push.
And the reason why I say that there's a push, push, push is because, have you gotten to the point where you've had to latch onto the harpies?
I've seen some latchment of harpies.
Okay. It's really, really important how high you get initially with the harpy.
Well, that's good to know for the future.
Yes. So push, push, push. Very important. So you have push, push, and you have push, push, push. I know, it sounds really bad. But knowing the difference of when to use which
is crucial.
And the time is crucial. Because I have missed hitting a mountain. I think the most difficulty I had was, jumping off of. So after climbing a ceiling, you had to descend onto the ground. And then there was a column that had climby vines.
Yes, and you had to turn it around and insert it into another wall and then climb up it and jump over to a glowy thing.
Nope, I'm farther past that. There's another one where you're literally outside and you've climbed down a piece of the mountain.
Oh.
And then there are the viney things that run on the ceiling, and so you stick your blades in the ceiling to kind of monkey bar across that.
Then right.
Then you drop down to a level below that, and then looking straight across from you is a pillar of rock that you need to push, push, push in order to glide far enough across to latch on to the climby vines on that column. Else you fall and it says you are dead.
Well, duh.
Yeah, that one, it took me about 5 to finally get the timing right to get across.
Man, so, you gotta feel bad for this guy. He's you know, died as a human. He's died as a god. I mean, the guy can't die as too many other things now.
I mean, here's the thing. Kratos has kind of been fucked over multiple times.
By everybody.
Not just gods, but people too. Okay?
And titans.
And titans. But we'll get to that. Ares fucks him over, makes him kill his wife and kid. Yep. He kills Ares, becomes god of war. Zeus gets a little freaked out about it. Doesn't tell him that he's his daddy, but pretty much takes his power away and fucks with him some more. Huh. He kind of starts catching feelings for Athena, who's had his back pretty much all the way through the games. He goes to finally kill Zeus. She gets in the way, and Zeus doesn't stop her, so she basically catches a bullet.
I know, and then he has the nerve to say in the first, he's like, you know, it's like, and Athena is dead. It's like, you could have protected her, Ash. You're the fucking god of gods.
Exactly. Zeus, you knew what was going to happen. You could have let
stuff. And you let the bitch get shanked.
Exactly. So you're about as much to blame as I am. Fuck you. So Yeah, the chick he was starting to catch feelings for, he ends up killing because of gods and no intervention.
But isn't Athena technically like his half-sister?
The gods fuck everything in sight. Greek gods pretty much fucked everything.
Yeah.
You gotta remember, Zeus would often turn himself into other things and fornicate them. Yeah. Okay, so he stopped screwing Hera to turn into a dog and screw other dogs and turn into a horse and screw other horses. Occasionally he'd turn into a human dude to screw human chicks, but wouldn't touch Hera.
I wonder why, because apparently she was very beautiful.
Yeah, she was, but when you see her in this game, she's just a drunken lush. She kind of reminds me of, like, the mom from Arrested Development, but uglier and just even more bitter.
Well, that's no offense. If you ain't getting fucked, you're going to be bitter and you're going to drink.
Yeah, and I kind of love her character at that point because she's like, yeah, killing Zeus, I'm for that. But
go ahead.
I get to the labyrinth and I can't have that. So she goes, just, you know, kill him. And then she walks back to, like, her chair and you hear this thud, thud, thud. And that's fucking Hercules. Who, by the way, is voiced by Kevin Sorbo.
Are you serious? They got Hercules to voice Hercules?
They got Hercules to voice Hercules.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for that.
I almost didn't want it to end that mission because he's, like, talking shit to you the entire time. And I'm like, come on, Kevin Sorbo. Yeah, take it, Kevin Sorbo. So I thought that was really awesome that they got Hercules.
Yeah, they didn't get Lucy Lawless in there somehow.
But that's the only thing they didn't do, but I'll tell you what, I'll take it, because I absolutely, absolutely, it was really enjoyable. You know, and there are lots of voice acting that pops up that you're like, wait a minute. Linda Hunt is still the voice of Gaia. T.C. Carson is still the voice of Kratos, because you can't have anybody else be the voice of Kratos.
Nope.
That's just not going to work. But Malcolm McDowell does the voice of Daedalus.
What?
Yeah.
Malcolm, what?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Okay.
Clock.
Yes. Clockwork Orange. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Oh. He does the voice of Daedalus. Crispin Freeman does the voice for
Helios. Oh, my God. Shut up right now.
No, he's the voice of Helios.
Oh, my God. Crispin.
Adrian Barbeau is the voice of Hera. Okay, you can't appreciate that, but there are other people who listen to this podcast.
I know, yeah.
And Rip Torn is the voice of Hephaestus.
Are you serious?
I shit you not.
Wow.
This is me not shitting you. Wow, if I'd known that that's all it takes to get that noise
out. Oh my God, I met him at Anime Boston several years ago.
So it's a great cast. There are other people. Like I said, Kevin Sorbo does the voice of Hercules. Natalie Lander does the voice of Pandora. Who else am I forgetting? April Stewart does the voice of Aphrodite. And I'm forgetting somebody. It'll come back to me, though. But anyway, lots of great voice acting, lots of great detail in characters. It just is all around a really enjoyable game. There are things that are really frustrating, but the visuals and the story is still as gripping. You know, it's really interesting to me to see how the story is now taking on a father-daughter protecting.
Yeah, but you knew at the end of two, though, with that whole segment where you're kind of protecting your wife and your child, you kind of knew at the end that they put that in there for a reason. So maybe it was kind of like a foreshadow to let you know that.
Yeah, but the protecting of your wife and daughter, wasn't that at the end of one?
Like,
before you had to go and fight Ares again, you had to protect your wife.
You had to fight yourself. Right. Multiple use against your, yes, your
yeah. Effort. At the end of two, you were taking it to Zeus.
Yeah. So the end of one, you're absolutely right. But still, they put that out there, and I think it was one of those whole, we're going to throw this to you now and see if you remember it for when we throw it at you again. Then you're like, oh.
Yeah, but that's one of those things that because this is not the same team that really did one, or two, to be honest, you know, to see them.
That's some great foresight on, you know, their end.
Well, I wouldn't even say foresight. I think that that's just, you know, a great way of showing homage to the team that, you know, got you the job that you have and got you where you are and basically made Santa Monica Studios to go back and reference things from that first game other than just, you know, calling him the Ghost of Sparta all the time and reminding him that he was a douchebag who killed Ares and, you know, killed his wife and kid.
Because remember, he was a loving daddy too.
We think.
Well, let's give him this one.
Let's do this.
Of all the shit that this man has done, he's got to have some.
You don't want to call him a bad daddy?
I don't want to call him a bad daddy. I don't. I do not.
Okay.
I mean,
he's killing.
He's killing innocents. He's fucking women all the time.
He does to fuck the ladies.
Yes.
So either
he's a good daddy or he's great at chess. We got to give him something.
I would probably give him the chess thing before the great dad thing. But here's the deal. Here's the thing. I love that there are a couple of moments where I've been playing through where he's had those little moments of not being a complete throwaway character. You know, he's had some redeemable moments. And
he's got to be a good dad and a good husband.
He's got to have some redeeming things because it can't just be you made me kill my wife and kid. Not that I like them or anything. But
yeah, because then it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't be that invested because you'd be like, well, great, less responsibility I have to worry about once this is all done. You know, so obviously he's got some heart stuff for them.
He's got like the pitter patter thing.
Yeah, he's got the heart thing.
But what's really, really interesting is I finally got to a point where Kratos thought that he was actually going to be grabbing Pandora, but it's just a statue of her. And he looks so sad, and she starts talking through the flame, and then she's like, oh no, it's coming, and she gets ganked, and you hear her scream. And the look on his face is he's screaming that scream of, I just lost my kid.
Well, I'm sure there's some projection there.
Yeah, and I really thought that it was done very tactfully. I'm very, very happy with my purchase. I'm very, very happy with the gameplay. I'm very, very happy with how it looks.
Mm.
The frame rate is ridiculous. It is very fluid.
Yes, agreed.
At times, it's a little bit too fluid. I expect there to be a lag. My timing is used to that. You know, I expect that it's, you know, run up the wall and then pause and then run down the side and then pause and then move and then, and there's no pausing. If you want to pause, you can, but you will die.
Yeah, so just keep going.
Just keep swimming because if you don't, you will die. And you do not want to die.
I would just get used to the concept of the fact that death is going to happen at, you know, rates of ness.
Yeah. So how far have you gotten in the game?
I am at after the Poseidon fight. So, I mean, I just saw the guy in the chair with all the brambles that I have to set on fire with the Cerberus puppy dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I've set him ablaze. And I took his bow. Because if you haven't figured it out in this game, Kratos does two things. He kills things or he fucks things. And if you ain't got tits, you're probably getting killed.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Although, one of the things that's really interesting is that the archers have boobs.
Yes, and you kill them.
You don't fuck them. So it's not 100% given that just having tits will save you from
crime. No, but...
increases your likelihood of surviving slightly.
I don't know, because the other chicks that Kratos has banged in the other two games, we don't know what happened to them after the fact. I mean, the two chicks from the first game that he fucks when he leaves the boat, you know, sinks. So those chicks probably, they died. And then the other
two... Yeah, but the chicks that were in the hot tub, they were fine.
So, see, yeah, it's a 50-50. You got a 50% chance of surviving.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, you do have sex in this game, and nobody dies.
Well, that's nice. Don't tell me about that.
So, you know, really, we're now at a 66% 30
chance of, yeah.
4%.
Hmm.
You know, so we're now.
So, I mean, I'm not very far, but, you know, real life has been, you know, nipping at me today, so I haven't had a lot of sit-down time with it, but please believe me, I'm going to.
let me ask you this question. In relation to the other God of War games that you've played.
Uh-huh.
How much do you want to finish this one versus that feeling, that need to finish one or two?
Believe it or not, I want to see the ending of this. Granted, I moved at a very lightning pace for two.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this right off the bat with how amazing it looks and how everything just wants me to know. I'm like, shit, I just got to know right now. I got to know. So, so I mean, it's around the same type of anticipation to see what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to partake in next? I mean, I can see myself playing this all night and getting it done and getting the story into my mouth, into my belly for digestion.
Okay.
Really fast. Like, it's like a prime steak on a bed of rice with gravy, and there are angels flying around the dish. Just for ambiance, obviously. I'm not going to eat the angels, maybe.
Yeah, you don't want... you. Well...
they might be light. They could be, like, my appetizer.
Your appetizer?
Yes. But, I mean, I just want to know. I just got to know.
Well, let me ask you another question. Just like in God of War games previously, there's a lot of item collection that you can do or not do. So there are magic refilling chests, there are life refilling chests, there are basically money refilling chests, mm-hmm. and then there's also another chest that pretty much is just an overall mixture of
a smorgasbord of it, all of it.
And there are some attacks that you actually have that are magic driven, but actually refill themselves over time, which is kind of interesting as well. How much extra item finding have you been doing on your gameplay?
Oh, anything that looks like a corridor I should go down, I go down it all. But that's something that I've trained myself to do since Final Fantasy X. So, I mean, I just look for everything because I'd rather do it now and then find out later that I'm only missing one or two and I can go back into a particular chapter and or get it.
Now, there are a lot of DLC elements and additional content elements surrounding God of War 3. You know, there are the two different soundtracks that, depending upon either a pre-order that you get or a special edition that you get access to. There are additional costumes that you get access to that vary, again, based off of what version of the game that you ordered, and also if you did a pre-order from either Amazon or, I think, GameStop. So how much have you been keeping up with any of that stuff? And how much does that really add for you to your gameplay, if at all?
Additional content?
The types of additional content that are around this game. So, you know, are you interested in the soundtracks that are available? Are you interested in any of the costumes that were made available early on? You know, because there are a couple that were made available for the Ultimate Trilogy Pack versus one that was made available for, like, the game pack that I have versus, you know, the Apollo costume that you can get if you got it from GameStop.
I don't know if that fuels me.
Okay.
Really. I mean, the game itself was enough to draw me in. So, I mean, all these other things that, you know, someone else who, you know, had this might be like, I think I'm going to get it, but I'm not sure. And then be like, oh, my God, that costume is awesome. And, oh, my God, that soundtrack, I could totally play that in my car and be like a badass man for the rest of my life. But, I mean, none of that really fueled me, you know, into more interest in this game. They already had me. They had me at the end of two. So, I mean, they could have given me, you know, a bag of Kratos' shit, and I still would have been like, awesome! We're done. We're done here. Here's my money. So.
Okay.
that's my, well, I mean, not, you know, Kratos' shit, because he's not real. So it'd be pixelated poop, and, I mean, I don't need pixelated poop. I don't need real poop, so.
you are not one in need of poop.
No, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, all that stuff is well and good, but, I mean, if the hype is strong enough, I don't even need it. So it doesn't fuel me. But that's just me. That's just me.
Well, I find all the content interesting, you know, getting additional music is always a good idea in my book. But, you know, the costume thing's kind of going a little crazy. I think there are right now 3 different costumes that are available depending upon where you either order it or, like I said, what version of the game that you get. And I'm not exactly sure that they really add all that much to the gameplay.
Besides a different, you know,
look to Kratos.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I
like, do the costumes do particular things? Like, does one, like, you know, make his attacks a little bit more powerful, or he gets a bigger gauge, or so? I mean, if they give,
but
some
you can't
type of
launch
extension.
Any of them until you've beaten the game through once, at least on some difficulties. And you know, it's one thing to give me a costume or let me know that that's even something that's available after I finish a playthrough. You know, kind of like at the end of the end credits being like, oh, new unlockable unlocked, a new costume. You can use it if you want to play through again. As opposed to up front when I order it being like, hey, yeah, we got a costume for you. And you get it just for ordering the Super Deluxe Kick-Ass Awesome Mountain Box. And then you use the code, which then they send you an email with another code that you use that code to download the costume. And then you can't even use it until you finish the gameplay anyway.
Well, that's kind of lame.
Yeah, that's my thinking.
Well, I mean, you see some games, a lot of games do that, though. I mean, back in the day when I was playing Omnimusha, you would unlock costumes that you couldn't put on until you at least beaten the game. And then you were playing a new game plus in a chicken suit or, you know, oh, yes, or a panda suit. That was fun.
Yeah, and I think, you know, unlocking something through the course of your gameplay is great. But, you know, telling me that this is a bonus that I get just for ordering, but then not giving me access to it
until after you've beaten the game at least once.
That's kind of, I think, a little bit of both a confusing point and also a little bit of setting up false expectations. Because I expected that I'd be able to use this costume on my original playthrough.
Right. I understand that. So yeah, that's a little misleading. Take Final Fantasy 13. When you open it, they're like, "Oh, if you register with the site, you'll get some additional, you know, a little, you know, present, a little reward."
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they give you a reward, but it's for Final Fantasy 14. So I'm like, "What the fuck?" It's like, "Are you serious?"
Ha ha, gotcha, bitch.
Exactly. Not that I'm planning to get Final Fantasy 14. I mean, you see that in Dragon Age. They gave you a little thing, and there were 2 codes on it. One actually gave you an additional downloadable content for the game right then, but then it also gave you a code for Mass Effect 2, where you could bring a certain dragon armor over into your Mass Effect 2, and it also went to Dragon Age. So, I mean, some of it was like, I'm like, that armor looks really great. Oh, wait, it's for Mass Effect 2. But, you know, it was misleading because that's what I thought. And then later I was like, wait a minute, I can buy it here now, too. Like, you guys should clearly state that it's going to go to both games.
Right.
Because you confuse me. But still, hey! So, I mean, sometimes they'll give you stuff that, you know, isn't even for the game that you're playing at the moment, which is misleading. Anything like that should really be geared to the game that you're playing at current.
Because otherwise I don't really see that as being value added as much as just telling me blatantly up front, you only see me for the dollars that
and
I get.
And indirectly, you're paying for it. It's not necessarily free.
Right. It's part of, you know, that extra costume really wasn't free. It was built into the cost of my special edition.
Exactly.
You know, box. And I get that. And I'm all for companies making money. And special editions and box sets are definitely the way to do it.
With an art book, a soundtrack, a pair of underwear, and some coupons to friendlies.
What kind of special editions have you been getting?
Panda editions.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I don't like ice cream and panties at the same time. That's just,
I wear panties when I eat ice cream.
I'm just, you wear panties when you wear ice cream. Okay, that's your bag. I'm not going to judge. But ultimately, I look at it like this. If you are going to do something and claim that it's value added, make sure that it's really value added. You know, I don't want to get a code that's going to give me an item in the next version of the game that you make. I don't have faith necessarily that you may necessarily be around to make the next version of that game. Okay, the economy does weird things. Developers can't seem to stay happy with publishers and vice versa. Companies go all the time.
That was a great explosion.
Thank you. But if you're going to make something value added, really make it value added. You know, I would have loved another piece included in the game where I was able to either play the game using a different version of Kratos, not necessarily costume, but, you know, give me the ability to choose to have one of his abilities just maxed out from the get-go. Let me still have to build up all the other stuff, but I think that that would make an interesting value-added deal. You know, you give me an easy and medium and a difficulty mode, and then I'm sure, as with most God of War games, if you play the God mode, you can probably unlock the Zeus mode or whatever the fuck it is, that ridiculous, redonkulous mode. You know, but I'd also love to be able to, you know, kind of go at it like just pick a level that you want to play over again, kind of what Heavy Rain allows you to do, and going back and just picking a particular thing to play over again to make it a little bit different, you know. Because when I play through, on my first playthrough, I don't go down every corridor.
Oh, see, I do. Just
I blitz through the story because I want to know the story. I'm not worried about Gorgon eyes. Okay, it'll probably bite me in the ass later because I may not necessarily have enough life easily to defeat a boss, but I'll get through it. But I'm making a beeline because I need to finish the story.
See, well, that's just because you're trained differently. But again, that's also because of the different types of games that you and I play. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't feel like I'm slowing down just because I'm looking down every corridor trying to find, you know, these minotaur horns. And, you know, shit like that. I don't feel it straining on my gameplay or my game time. Whereas I'm sure for someone like you, it does. So, yeah, I mean, that's extra, gamer to gamer.
You know, if I'm going to go and hippity-hop and hop-hop and push just to find a Gorgon eye, and then I've got to retrace my steps back, and God help me if I fall, because then I got to start that whole thing again. You know, that's just time that I could just be making a beeline for Pandora's box. That came out really wrong.
I bet you want to make a beeline. Bet you do.
You know what I meant.
You know, there's a whole lot of horrors inside that box. I'd be careful.
I heard it has teeth. That's never any good. But I feel like for all the pump and hype that the game has gotten so far, I think it's lived up to it. So in my book, God of War 3, as far as I've played it, is a 4.5 out of 5. I can't give it a 5 because, again, the jump thing is really pissing me off. And I haven't finished the story yet. Now, if I finish the story and I feel really satisfied in its ending, then I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5 because it's going to be a solid, awesome experience beginning to end. And I think that's what a great game is a solid, really enjoyable experience from beginning to end.
I agree.
What about you?
Mm-hmm. I don't have much to say, but I agree. I mean, I like from what I've played. I mean, I've only got about, you know, that's, you know, 10 minutes.
So, I mean, that I haven't first battle really took more than 10 minutes.
All right, well then, you know what I mean. I haven't played enough of it, but I mean, I'm very happy with what I've played. I haven't been like, I think I'll put this away and go back to Final Fantasy 13, which was my initial fear going in, especially because I'm already like halfway through that story, which means now when I go back to it, I'm going to be like, so what was I doing again?
I had something to do with like people.
There are several people joined by fate for something.
With a thingy?
Yeah, there's several. Yeah. See, so I've literally shot myself in the foot. But I knew I was going to do it. So it's all right. It's all right. I have health packs.
Well, we want to know what you think. So make sure that you hit us up on our website, questions@esh.mobi. Let us know where you are in the game, if you've got the game, and what your thoughts are. We'll share some of them on the next episode of the show. Also, we got a question in before we start wrapping it up.
Oh, and my God. Really? We have mail?
Yeah, we had mail.
And oh, my God.
And you asked.
I'm so excited right now.
I know. See if you can contain it, though. Right now you're at a 9. I need you at like a 7.
All right, sorry.
Okay. So, question was, in looking at some of the new releases that Warner has done of Marvel, not Marvel, DC-based comics, you know, the Crisis of Two Earths, the Wonder Woman cartoon, animated short. They're all in the vein of Justice League. Mm-hmm. What we've seen, what we enjoy, what we didn't, and why. So we had a list of things. The Wonder Woman movie, the Green Arrow one, Crisis of Two Earths. I have seen Crisis on Two Earths. I rented it the other day when I wasn't feeling well. I'll be honest with you. It was really good. As a person who only read some of the Infinite Earths Crisis comic books, they stayed really, really close to the spirit of what's going on there. And I definitely see Warner really treating these properties with a lot of care. And I love that many of them are being turned into mini feature length, I guess is the best way to call it, because they're definitely designed for small screen, since most of them only have about an hour runtime. So it would very easily, you know, rerun on Cartoon Network, which was running a lot of the Justice League stuff initially. But I thought it was really good. I think that more people should pay attention to them. I don't think that a lot of people are really aware of the various movies that are available. I want to watch more. I haven't seen the Wonder Woman one just because I haven't had time.
Yeah, time is probably a big thing for me. Not to mention, I mean, out of all of them, I think I'd be probably more prone to even to watch the Wonder Woman one. I'm not fully immersed in that universe. I was more Marvel than DC, really.
I started out DC and then I went to Marvel, and I still hover a little bit in the DC universe. The last DC series that I actually bought was the Cassandra Cain Batwoman, Batgirl.
Right.
Block, which I absolutely loved. I love dark Bat characters as opposed to
bubblegum. Tormented light ones.
No, I don't like tormented light ones. I think that the Batman character should always be dark. I think it should always be tormented, and I think should really be questioning whether or not
he's really a good guy.
Yeah.
That's, oh my God, that is a very, that just opened a floodgate for me.
That's the Batman, the Bat whatever that I enjoy. You know, it's part of the reason why I had some issues with how they treated Robin growing up and being Nightwing, because Robin was always really, really bubbly, and the only sadness that he ever had was a little bit of torment of was how his parents were killed. But other than that, he was always bubbly and really happy.
Well, I mean, he does kind of, you know, get taken in under a millionaire and probably didn't have much financial worries. Like, if he had been like a street bum, you know, living off.
He lived in the circus. He worked in the circus.
Well, the circus is a happy place. Well, then what the fuck were you worrying? Why are you expecting him to not be bubbly?
It's not that I wasn't expecting him to be bubbly. I'm saying I didn't enjoy Robin turning into Nightwing and because I didn't buy it.
Right.
You know, Nightwing
sounds very serious and kind of.
And it's supposed to be, you know, dark and counter weight to Batman, and so it should be as grave and dark a character, I think. And Nightwing wasn't for that for me because I know his origin is Robin. I know that he's the back-flipping, smiling, happy kid, and so it doesn't work for me that way.
You know, but could you have seen him, you know, being some type of, like, Night Lark or, like, Dusk Lark or something where he still kind of had some light in him?
He should have gotten out of the game. If you are trained by Batman, okay, so here's a tangent. If you're, in my book, if you're trained by Batman, all the martial arts, all the different gadgets and things like that, and your sole existence for having the alternative lifestyle, La Vida Bat, is to go after the dude that killed your parents, which we already know who the dude is because it's the mob guy, and you can't knock that motherfucker off before,
I know, right?
20, you just need to put up your cape and cowl, and maybe this isn't the line of work for you.
Good point. I understand. I get where you're coming from. I get it.
You know, and so to then transition and become Nightwing, and I'm going to be bigger and badder and darker, I don't buy it.
And still not whack your target.
I don't buy it.
Maybe he's depressed because he knows he'll never. Maybe he knows deep down he doesn't have the that drive that would compel him to seek the vengeance.
Got to hang up the cape and cowl and let somebody else take it over. And I think it's the reason why I always enjoy the Cassandra Cain Batgirl woman, because she was a ridiculously no second thought about it assassin killer from the time that she was like 5 and was having to be taught how to not be that. And struggling with that and messing it up, and finally got to the point where she asked herself, well, which way was I happier? Which way was right for me? Just killing people to kill people because that's what I could do, and I felt more myself than this thing that's trying to get to know people, and I'm not sure that this is the thing for me. Like, that is a good Bat character.
You like people coming to that crossroads and having to
examine that and it being a real crossroads as opposed to a perceived one, which is why I enjoyed Batman Gotham Knight. I have not seen the Green Lantern one, which is the first flight, but I plan on seeing it. But I've really enjoyed them. And so, Slim, I really appreciate the question. We're going to try to get through the list and maybe do a comprehensive, you know, Justice League night on the show and kind of talk about all these guys. But let us know what you think. If you've seen Justice League New Frontier or Batman Gotham Knight, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern First Flight, Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, or Justice League Crisis on Two Earths, drop us a line at questions@esh.mobi and let us know what your thoughts are. Personally, the more animated tales that are done really well around DC and Marvel Comics, I think the better. I think that it's always a great avenue to find really good stories in.
See, now I'm slightly interested. I might have to pick one of these up and talk about it.
The other thing you should pick up is stuff that we write about on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also on the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast re-airing each week on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. The new episodes air every Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern Time, which works out to be 5:30 Pacific Time. And if you want to hang around either before or after the show is on, we invite you to do so and maybe talk to some of the people that are there in chat and listen to some of the other really good shows that are in entertaining over there, like Dead Pixel Live
and Gametopius.
Chatterbox is over there too, and of course the man, Bobby Black Wolf.
He's the man.
He is the man. Just accept it, own it, love it.
Let it seep into your cerebellum.
Much like our show and entertainment. As well, you should check out some of the other shows coming out from ESH Crew alumni. You can catch the Boston Bass Brigade with new episodes every Tuesday at bostonbassbrigade.com or in iTunes. And each Wednesday, our very own Deuces Wild co-host Geek Aggro, which is coming out of the Collective Geek Pod. So with that said,
if you're going to Pexies, clap your hands. If you're going to Pexies, clap your hands.
That's right. We are going to be at PAX East next week. Well, actually, later on this week by the time you're listening to it, because it starts Friday. We will totally be there. So if you're in the Boston area and you've got a pass, because pass is already sold out, so you can't buy them now, make sure that you roam around and check us out. You can't miss us. Well, you might, because she's kind of short. Watch that shit. But we will be there as well as the Boston Bass Brigade members. So it's going to be awesome.
Say hi to us and I'll give you a hug.
Twitter us, Facebook us, YouTube us. All that stuff is available. Electricsisterhood.com/socialize. Panda, do you have anything that you need to declare?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent.
You? Do you?
I would like to disclose that if Kratos was a real man, I would totally do him.
But you're... What about... You know.
I'm saying, if it was a man...
He would scare me if he was a real man.
We would be in an alternate reality, because obviously Kratos is pixels.
If he was real, you would do him, and if he was real and he was standing near me, I'd probably cry.
I have a thing for the dark.
I'd be worried he'd stab me.
No, you have boobs. You're good.
There's a 66% chance that he would fuck me and I would die.
No, it's 66% that he would screw you and you would live.
I don't know. I don't think
there's a 30% chance he would
screw you and you would die. I don't think I'm his type. He might think I talk too much for a woman. Less talky, more fucking.
Well, that's between you and Kratos. That's between you and Kratos, not me. As always, I'm Ninja Sisto.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're out of here, folks.
Bye.